This podcast is brought to you by Mezcala Nursery, located at 6901 Orange Avenue, Long Beach, California, 90805. Mezcala is family-owned, family-ran since 2007. This is the house of succulents growing grounds, you guys. I'm talking everything you can possibly imagine in the succulent realm, from your common everyday plants to more rare and obscure imports. They have all kinds of different cacti and euphorbias. They can service your landscaping needs, and they have a bunch of hoop houses dedicated to houseplants. And I go to Sergio anytime I have to do a pop-up, anytime I'm going to do a pop-up, I go to them, and I keep my shop stocked by supporting Mezcala. They have everything you need in one place. Mezcala is also on Instagram at Mezcala Nursery. They keep their stories updated daily of these plants that can come and go really quickly. You could miss it. Make sure to go show them some love. It's also very family friendly and the customer service is on point. I'm there all the time. I bring my kids with me. They always have a great time. 6901 Orange Avenue, Long Beach, California, 90805. Mezcala Nursery. Welcome back, everybody, to If Plants Could Talk. This is Garrett. I'm your host. This conversation took place on July 5th, 2021, with my guest, Big Cactus Rescue. Martin joins me today as my very first international guest, which I'm really excited about. I'm blown away that I'm able to have a conversation with another human being on a completely different continent and time zone and then share it with you guys via this platform. He did an excellent job. He's got an amazing collection, and he cares a lot about what he's doing, for sure. You can see the passion in his eyes. Very calm, very mellow dude. Really enjoyed his company. He has in his bio that he built a little cactus sanctuary in rainy England. Desert plants and death metal. No gods, no masters, no mealybugs. You can find his website, bigcactusrescue.org. I'll plug a link in the bio. Also his Instagram at Big Cactus Rescue. He recently had an 8-page spread in the BCSS magazine, the British Cactus and Succulent Society magazine, which I thought was so awesome. They're on Instagram as well at BCSS_cactusworld. He also plugged his girlfriend who is running for such an amazing cause. She is Trixie Runs Every Day on Instagram. She's running to raise money as a charity for the local homeless in UK, which I think is absolutely incredible. Go show her some love, you guys. I hope you enjoy. Here's Martin. Big Cactus Rescue.
How's it going?
Joining us from the United Kingdom.
Yep.
You're my first international guest.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And I love your accent. It's beautiful.
Thank you. I don't really think about it.
Right. Yeah. So how are you doing today?
Very good. It's 6 o'clock here. I guess it's a lot earlier there.
10 a.m. Yeah.
That's early.
What's the season like over there right now?
It's summer. Yeah. And it's nice. Really nice. We don't get much of a summer, but it's good when we get it.
Yeah. I have so many questions about, your location and cactus. I didn't realize. I've seen a lot of accounts in the UK, and actually a large percentage of the listeners are from the UK.
Right.
But I didn't realize. Is there a bigger cactus community than you would imagine, right?
In the UK, I mean, it's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, the British Cactus and Succulent Society is a huge organization, and there's a lot of members, but they tend to be older.
Mm.
So, I mean, I guess back in the day, starting collecting cactuses was a huge thing. It's been going since, I don't know, like the 20s or something.
Okay.
So a lot of the collectors here are a lot older, whereas it seems in New York, in LA, there's a whole younger crowd coming in.
I believe that's relatively new, because a lot of the older cats that I speak to, it used to be like an older gentleman's thing, you know?
Yeah.
or woman's thing. And yeah, I think that this new generation, there's been a boom of younger cats getting into this. I don't know though. I have no idea because I didn't start paying attention until recently. And I saw you have a 8-page spread in the British Cactus Succulent Society magazine.
Yeah.
That's fucking incredible, dude.
Yeah,
Congrats,
well, I
Martin.
think it's kind of, I think they're desperate for young or fresh blood, you know, like
Yeah.
a lot of the collectors are passing away now or getting too old to look after their collections, and not a lot of younger people, although I'm not that young, but they seem to think I am. So not a lot of people are sort of coming into the hobby now. But they're desperately trying to reach out and get people in. So when I started doing it, they embraced it.
That's incredible, man. 'Cause it's you're different than your typical, you know what I mean? You got the metal thing going on and you got.
Yeah, well, definitely in the UK, because it is very much an old man's hobby, I would say it is different. And yeah, it's interesting. I don't know how the whole metal and cactus thing really started. I just thought it was funny at first, but it's definitely become a thing now. I just thought it was funny, like putting a really brutal metal song with a picture of a beautiful flower, and it amused me. And I kind of rolled with it, and it stuck.
They contrast each other well, for sure.
Yeah.
And it's you brought a unique perspective into the community. Even here, I don't see a lot of, or if any, like death metal cactus collectors. Like, you know what I mean? You.
There's a couple. It surprised me. Like,
Oh, is there?
yeah, it seems to be a thing. I mean, it's funny. That's all it is. It's just funny. And I've always listened to metal, come from the punk scene, grew up around all that stuff. Yeah,
Yeah.
there's not a great deal to it.
I see a beautiful bloom behind you.
Yeah, this is new today.
Nice.
Yeah.
What is it, a trike? I can't really tell.
Yeah, it's a Trachycereus patchinii, and
Nice.
that was actually one of the first real cactus that I got. It was a cutting, and someone from the British Cactus and Succulent Society gave it to me. I went up to his greenhouse and took a cut, and it was rooting for quite a long time, and now it's fully rooted and flowering, and it's great.
Isn't that a lovely feeling when you take a cutting and root it? I mean, especially like in the early stages when I first started collecting and I rooted cactus or propagated columnar in particular. I love that.
It amazes me that they can do it.
It's
Like,
rewarding.
yeah, you can cut off any old bit and eventually it'll grow roots and turn into a plant again. It's incredible.
Totally, yeah. Or like fall
Will
down. It can fall down and start growing.
it grow roots from anywhere it wants.
Right.
It's fascinating.
So, are
The
you a
will.
musician? Sorry.
Yeah, I've not for a long time. But yeah, I've played in plenty of bands. I've toured with a lot of bands, and I'm a sound engineer,
Okay.
live sound engineer. I kind of got sick of playing with bands quite a long time ago. The practicing, I found that was a much easier way of going on tour was to just drive the bands. So I did that for quite a long time. It's like all the fun of touring without the actual having to play.
The commitment that comes with that,
Yeah. And
yeah.
also working in that sort of industry, you just kind of get sick of it. It becomes a job, and that's what it did. But yeah, I play the drums and I play bass. But like I say, not for a while. No particular interest in getting back into it, really.
What I was reading, I scrolled through your Instagram and then I kind of zoomed in on that. Article, correct me if I'm wrong, but did you kind of when the pandemic hit, you had a lack of tours and then you started kind of gravitating towards your cactus collection?
Well, I mean, I've only really been doing this cactus thing since the start of the pandemic
Okay.
and the whole lockdown.
Yeah.
I had a lot of tours booked, a lot of festivals. I run as well, so a lot of races, were cancelled. I go to the gym a lot, and all the gyms were shut down, and I basically had nothing to do.
Yeah.
So, and also, I've always kind of been interested in cactus, but I've never really lived anywhere where I could keep them. I've
Yeah.
lived in, traveled around a lot, lived in squats, and then I lived in, moving from place to place. I lived in a vehicle for a long time. I've tried to keep plants, but it just doesn't work. So just sort of before the pandemic kicked off, ended up with an absolutely beautiful garden and an opportunity to sort of collect stuff, and that's what's ended up happening. It became a hobby. I
Yeah.
kind of have a habit of collecting hobbies and fully embracing them. This is the latest one.
I don't think this one's going anywhere, though. I think
Well, they never
it's
do.
here
This is
to
the
stay.
problem. Yeah. Like I do have a habit of going for stuff. Like with the running, I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs without being out of breath. So I decided to go for a run. And within a year, I was doing marathons and ultra marathons every weekend. So that's just sort of what I do. It's why I have to be careful about saying yes to stuff, because if I say yes, then I'll seem to kind of commit.
I hear you. Well, that's drive that I'm sure a lot of people long for, man. That's incredible that you have that. And I can see that your collection grew very rapidly.
Did. I was really lucky because obviously I didn't have any work, and just, yeah, the community and the people.
Yeah.
I got a lot of plants given to me. Like I say, a lot of old collectors have passed away, and I kind of got the reputation as being the guy who will take the stuff that no one else wants. So I got given a lot of stuff, and I've collected a lot of stuff for free, or trades and that sort of thing. And it's been really, really interesting.
Hence rescue, Big Cactus Rescue. Is that where the name came from? The fact
Well, then,
that you're willing to take rescue people's plants?
yeah. Well, that's, I don't know the name. So the Instagram thing started because I had all these plants and they started to flower. And I was like, this is amazing. So I started taking photographs of them and I started posting them on Facebook. And like, obviously, all my friends on Facebook are not interested in me posting pictures of flowers because this is a dramatic change for me. So yeah, I just made the Instagram account to kind of dump the pictures that I was taking. And the Big Cactus Rescue thing came from at the time, at the start of lockdown. I don't know if it was as popular there, but the Tiger King thing.
Yeah, I
Yeah, so
remember.
it's just a play on Big Cat
Big
Rescue.
Cat Rescue, yeah. Well, it's catchy, bro. It is catchy.
So that stuck. And then everyone was like, oh, you rescued cactus. Great. Here, do you want these? And I'm like, yeah, great. And the collection expanded quite rapidly.
That's
And I
beautiful.
love that. I love it, like getting a plant that's neglected or almost dead and cleaning it up and getting rid of all the, if there's any bugs on it or whatever, and just making it look beautiful again, because quite easy to do. Like finding a nice pot for it and top dressing it. And obviously, the Instagram thing, there's a lot of people who post pictures of incredibly pretty plants, and it's very easy to look like that if you just sort of take some time. And I like that.
Yeah, that's cool. Is there a cactus in habitat in the UK?
No.
None? Zero?
Zero.
Wow.
It rains constantly, and the winters are freezing. So, no, nothing can really live outside. I mean, some people try. You can, there's some, particularly on the south coast, you can just about get away with growing certain plants outside, but no, nothing in habitat.
Wow, I'm surprised there's not like at least an Opuntia or something that, because those things are hardy, man.
I don't exaggerate when I say it rains all the time. Like,
Yeah.
it's just too wet, it's too humid, and yeah, they wouldn't live outside for very long.
So you have to have a greenhouse. Do you incorporate any heating or anything like that? How do you do climate control?
Yeah, I have, in the winter I insulate with bubble wrap, and I have an electric fan heater just to keep it above freezing. And I just stop watering sort of October. And yeah, just leave them alone and they don't get any water until the spring. And most plants are all right, just above freezing, maybe 5 degrees.
Sure.
But obviously, some need to be warmer, like the Brazilian ones and stuff like that. So they come inside
Oh,
where
bring
it's
them in the
warm.
house. Okay.
Yeah.
Man, that's dedication, bro. That's so cool that you've found this and really like it sounds like you're putting a lot into it.
Yeah, well, I was just, like I say, I had nothing to do. So I started reading about these plants because I thought they were quite interesting. And I sort of absorb information pretty easily. And I just spent like months just reading about them. So I feel like I know quite a lot now.
Yeah. Cool. I was gonna ask you about when did that begin? Like, when do you, if you look back into your past, when did that first little spark towards plants? Was there any other plants in your history besides for cactus?
Probably not. I mean, my parents have a beautiful garden and they're quite so house plants and stuff, but I never really paid any attention as a teenager. No, I mean, I went out to Arizona on tour quite a while ago and I saw like this scabby old Opuntia desert and I was like, oh shit, that's amazing. No way, I've never seen a cactus before. In habitat. But I wasn't that, I was pretty drunk and didn't really care. But I think that sparked off a certain interest in these weird plants. There's a certain mystery about them because you don't see them here. I mean, we have some amazing plants that grow. It's very lush and green and, stuff grows everywhere. But yeah, there's a certain mystery to cactus that appealed to me.
I think that you're not alone in that. Even I'm sure that it is that much more interesting because of where you're from and the lack of them being present. But I feel like there's that's like a very familiar thing, something magical or mystical about cactus, you know? And the spikes too. I can see why you coming from the type of culture that you know you grew up in, you like the spiky, gnarly cactus, you know? It's
Yeah.
fitting.
It is. It is. It's interesting.
Yeah. So what about like a favorite or what's the most, what do you have the most of?
That's another thing I find interesting is that a lot of people sort of specialize in certain types of plants, and I haven't really done that, although obviously there's some plants that I love more than others. Areocarpus are probably my favorite. I guess over there, Areocarpus are pretty common in collections, but here, not so much. I think they're considered quite a hard to grow
I would
or
imagine,
delicate plant, but they're not really. So yeah, I love Areocarpus, and I can't explain why. They're weird plants. And in my head, there's this sort of sludge doom metal soundtrack that goes along with them, so that makes them even more interesting.
Awesome. So everybody's sourcing via importing out there. You guys are importing from.
Well, we were.
Now they're growing them there, huh?
There's this whole Brexit thing happened recently, and now we can't import anything,
What?
including particularly plants. It's an
Wow.
absolute mess. I won't get into it too much, but yeah, we left the European Union by a vote.
Yeah, I heard about that. I didn't know that you guys weren't allowed to import anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can, but there's all sorts of new rules. Previously, we could import anything from the EU, and we were all part of one thing, and there was no restrictions whatsoever. Now there's also, I mean, they haven't even figured it out yet. There's all sorts of tax that you have to pay, and they have to be inspected and all this stuff. So you order a plant from Europe or from France, which is, 20 miles away. It has to come in, and there's such a massive backlog at the port because everything has to be inspected and everything has to be certified, and people have generally just stopped doing it because plants just don't turn up. They end up in a warehouse waiting. So stuff just disappears for months on end, and by the time you get it, it's dead. So it's a really, I mean, it's changed the hobby hugely. The price of plants has just skyrocketed because suddenly, there's all these nurseries out in Europe that grow all this stuff, and it was really cheap and easy to get, and anyone can get it. Suddenly, anything that's on the island is suddenly the value of it has gone up because it's harder to get.
Fourth of
So that's
July.
a myth.
Sorry. Somebody's lighting off fireworks
Firework.
in the middle of the day. I'll let them finish. Cool. Yeah, that's so the most of your plants are coming from other collectors then. Wow.
I mean, when the Brexit thing has only been recently, so I was importing stuff from Europe quite a lot. But that's all been clamped down now. So yeah, a lot of the stuff that I've got is stuff that people don't want, or collectors that have passed away, or collectors that have retired, or have got too much stuff.
Wow.
And since that article went out in the BCSS magazine, quite a few people have contacted me and say, "Hey, I've got all this stuff. Do you
Yeah.
want it?" Like, yeah, I want it.
That's a blessing, man.
I know, it's amazing. It's really good.
Yeah. I would love for some people to shoot me some plants. Yeah. So you said that Areocarpus is your favorite. Is that what you have the most of?
I don't really know. Never really thought about it. I've certainly never counted. I have quite a few. It wasn't that long ago when I got my first one, and I was like, "Oh my God, this is amazing!" I got it from a guy in Belgium, and I paid an obscene amount of money for it, and I was super happy with it because I never thought I'd be able to get one because they're quite hard to get. And now I've probably got maybe 10 or 12.
Dope. I saw you have a pretty big Copiapoa collection.
Yes, I don't know if you can see, they're all here.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah,
What is
I
the.
like.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I like them, and again, can't explain why. I think it's the story of the habitat they come from, and they're certain. I don't think they're as pretty as Areocarpus. They're very varied, and but they look cool. They're gnarly, and they're so slow at growing. I like the slow growing ones. There's something just mind blowing about a plant that can take that long to grow, and then you see pictures of them in habitat, and they're just like massive. And it's like, imagine how long it took to get that size. It's pretty incredible.
And they'll outlive us too,
Oh yeah,
you know.
which is yeah, and a lot of people, you kind of need to think about these plants live longer than people. So where are they going to go when you go? Like. And a lot of people don't, which is why there's a lot of huge, incredible collections where the family of someone who's passed away are like, "We don't know what to do with all this stuff. Does anyone want it?" sort of thing. But yeah, it's definitely more than one lifetime to get certain plants to maturity. And that's pretty fascinating.
What is watering like for you? I would imagine you water less often than we do.
Yeah, it's very much dependent on the weather, I guess. Like this year, the spring was terrible. So from no water from October, usually sort of April, you would start watering, but it dragged on and on because it was just so cold. And yeah, it took a long time for it to warm up. So you just withhold water until the weather's warm enough to get them growing again. And then Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any special sort of rules about watering. I just water when the soil's dry and when the weather's sort of bright enough.
Do you have to supplement lighting at all ever?
No, not really. We get plenty of, I mean, it's overcast a lot of the time, but there is enough light. You just have to. I've got a big, huge box of seedlings over here that have got lights. But that's only because I don't have the space to put them out on the benches, so they're under the bench with light.
What kind of seeds
So I
are
just
you? What are
need a
you?
bit
What are
of
you
box.
growing? What do you got? What are you growing?
Mostly Areocarpus.
Checks out.
Yeah, I've probably got about, I don't know, 3,000 Areocarpus
What?
growing under the. I got away with
Oh,
it.
man.
Euphorbia, but. Yeah, I've got a lot and I've no idea what I'm going to do with them all. But I can forget about it for a few years because they're not going anywhere. I mean, it's going to take at least 3 years before they even come out of the little pods. So I'll let future me worry about
Wow, 3 years.
Yeah, they you can quite you can leave them sealed up for 2 or 3 years and they're fine, I
They don't
think.
ever need any new moisture.
Well, they're pretty sealed, so the initial water that you give them will do them for a long time.
Wow. That's incredible. I did not know that. I was going to ask you about the legality of certain cactus in your area. What's up with Lophophora in the UK?
It's fine. There's no laws
On
at
any of
all.
them.
No.
Wow.
You can. I don't think there's so few people that are interested in them, I don't think it's become a problem. It's not like,
Sure.
yeah, it's no, you can grow them, you can keep them. I think, I don't know, maybe there's a rule about drying them and eating
Processing
them.
it, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know.
Interesting. So yeah, then obviously Trichocereus is not a problem either. Because
No.
we got gray area, we have a legal gray area on the trikes, and then we have the loafs are just illegal for the most part. The William ZI at least is. I just learned that recently, that the other ones, like, I don't know how you freaking say it, Fritchie, those are legal, I guess. I don't know. I might be
How
wrong.
can we possibly tell
Right,
the
exactly, yeah. Right.
difference? It seems so crazy to me that like the country where they grow,
Right.
they grow in habitat there,
Yeah.
like, and they're illegal,
Yeah.
and they
Well,
need to be protected, of course, but
yes.
to grow them in a greenhouse is illegal.
Yeah.
It's not like it's yeah, it's strange.
Well, we just got a bill in California in particular that is gone to the Senate, and so far it's like passed through every hoop thus far on the decriminalization of all psychedelics, and but specifically these and other psychedelic substances as well, which is a big win, you know. It's a big win for us.
Definitely.
Yeah, especially the plants. Like if it's plant based, I don't understand it, you know. But I got some questions if you'd like
Okay.
to field some questions.
I'll try.
Let's have a look. Crazy for cactus, Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
What is the most metal cactus on Earth?
I'll show you.
Please do.
This one is the most metal cactus on Earth right now.
It does look pretty fucking metal, to be honest, with those spikes coming out of the hair. Yeah, bro. That's crazy. You're so right.
Got to imagine the soundtrack that goes with it, obviously.
It reminds me of like Liberty Spikes. I know that's more like punk, but yeah.
That's a cool plant. So there you go, Kevin. That is the most metal plant on Earth
It's an Areocarpus for the listeners.
today. Tomorrow it
Righteous.
might change.
This is just a statement, not a question. K. Pershawn said, so excited to learn about his collection. And Edgar, your cacti sucks. He said, when are you coming to visit us in America?
Next year.
Are you?
Definitely. Like, I would have come sooner, but I've got no money. So Yeah, I think me and my girlfriend are definitely planning on coming out. It's been such a strange thing with the Instagram to kind of, like everybody that I speak to on Instagram is from LA, and I've got no idea why that happened because I didn't seek out people in LA. It just seems that that's the scene where, the younger generation of cactus growers are, and it's really interesting. So I've made such good friends on there, and I feel like it's going to be weird going out there because I feel like I know quite a lot of people. So definitely want to come out and get a car and drive around and meet all the people I've been speaking to for the last year or two.
That's wonderful, man. And that's the beautiful thing about technology. As much as I see a very dark side of social media, something like this, I mean, one, we're able to have this conversation. You're in a fucking completely different time zone and a different continent. And you just told me you have all these friends that are over here. I mean, it's beautiful, man. Really grateful to have had that during such a fucked up time, you know?
It has been a messed up time, and the pro like I use Facebook a lot, so a lot of my friends that I've met over the years are on there. But it Facebook, as soon as the pandemic hit, it turned dark. Like, there's just people arguing on there and people at each other's throats, and there's all this conspiracy theory stuff and all this right-wing shit coming on, and I just couldn't deal with it. Like, I don't need to go on social media to argue with people about stupid shit. Which, so when I made the plant Instagram, suddenly like everyone's really nice and like people talk about plants, and I'm like, well, this is fine. I don't need Facebook. So this is why I've been using it so much, is because it's positive, and a lot of the stuff on Facebook since the pandemic has been really negative, and I don't need that.
So much political unrest, even where you guys are.
Oh
It's
yeah,
just
totally.
everywhere right now.
I think the problem is, like, since the pandemic, everyone's been out of work, everyone's whatever. People have just been spending an awful lot of time on social media, and people have fallen into these wormholes, pits of conspiracy theories, and it is messed up. And I tried for a while to just like pump a bit of rational sense into people by getting involved with these arguments, but it's pointless. You can never change someone's mind on the internet. So I just
Certainly.
stepped out and took pictures of flowers. And it's been much, much pleasant, more pleasant.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of cruelty in the plant community, and that's kind of what I found too. It was like a breath of fresh air, for sure.
Yeah.
Even just seeing people like share your photos, they don't tag you or anything, but you're scrolling through and you see somebody shared your thing, or and people comment, and like it's just it's incredible. Imagine if there was a way to do it and like to interact in the amount that we do, but like in person, if we could actually be around
You'd have
each other all the time,
a lot of people in your house, wouldn't
sure
you?
would be.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
It's a supportive community, man.
I guess these communities exist for all sorts of specialist subjects, and it is nice. It's a weird thing that like people collect stuff. I've been thinking about this. Like, a lot of people are like, why do you collect cactus? And I've been thinking about that a lot, and I have absolutely no idea. And I think it's probably like some, like with most weird things that humans do, it's probably some evolutionary trait that's gone wrong. Like, I guess, when people settled down, they suddenly had the space or the time or the ability to collect stuff. So collecting resources would help with survival, and then over the years that's gone weird, and now we collect stamps and stuff like that.
I look at it as like a caretaker trait. Like we have some kind of trait that makes us want to care for things, especially specifically nature,
Yeah.
It seems to be that way that a lot of the plant people, most of the plant people I meet, have a particular like love for the outdoors or nature or plants. It's interesting though.
It could be that the people that collect the most resources get the mate. which is why some people end up collecting stamps, and some people end up, collecting money and cars and
Sure.
all that thing. But it's very much an instinct that all humans seem to share is, yeah. Again, and I guess the same thing happened to me. I was not able to keep possessions because of my lifestyle, and then since I've settled down, suddenly I've got a lot of time on my hands and the space to
Yeah.
keep. But this is just what humans do. If you give them some space, they'll fill it with crap.
For
No
sure.
one knows why.
All right, let me see what else I got here. I got a couple more. This question we already answered. What cactus grow naturally in England? And unfortunately, we found out that none do. This is from my girlfriend, the mother of my child,
I think
Amber.
it's funny that people think that cactus might grow in England.
Well, I guess we're out of touch. What is your dream plant destination? She asked. Do you have one?
Well, first off, I don't know, LA.
Sure.
Want to meet all you guys.
Sure.
And then I'd like to go to the Atacama Desert, as
Yeah.
would everyone, I'm sure. And that place is, I've read so much and seen so many pictures, it just looks incredible.
I had a feeling you might say that.
Yeah.
I did. That's cool. Well, I hope you do make it out, and when you do, please holler at me, man. I would love to meet up. We could link at the nursery, one of the local nurseries. That's the beautiful thing about this area in particular in Southern California, is we have these like little home bases, these little nurseries like GT, Mezcala, Garibaldo's. We can all kind of network and socialize there. Plus, we have the cactus clubs, which I haven't started doing all that yet, but I would like to. I'm interested. I might go to this upcoming show. So,
Yeah, that looks really good.
right, yeah, it does.
Haven't, like, the BCSS do a lot of shows and a lot of meetings and all sorts of stuff, but they haven't, because of the pandemic, everything's cancelled. So they've been doing Zoom meetings like every week for a long time. And they have a speaker, and anyone can join, and it's just been great. It's been really interesting to see that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. At least they have that. So filter free Jessie, she said. Well, first she said, "I want to ask him a question, but I have no idea what. I think I just want to hang out with them."
Yeah, well, we're coming, Jess, so we'll see you soon.
Yeah, you guys will get along well, for sure.
Yeah, we chat occasionally and it's nice.
Great. Yeah, she's good. She's a good person.
Yeah.
And you guys have similar interests and culture. So she also asked, I pressured her. I was like, no, you got to ask questions. She said, do people give over dying plants to you, and or do you find them around, or both? We kind of elaborated on that, but you want to answer her question?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I do prefer beautiful, nice, alive plants, but I tend to be given quite a lot of very dead plants. And as I'm starting to run out of space, I need to be a bit more picky now. At
Right.
first, I'm like, yeah, I'll take it, I'll take it. But I have built a second greenhouse now, which is nearly full. So yeah, I get a lot of, I've got a lot of plants that are dead. I've also got a compost heap that's full of dead plants, which is bad, but not all of them can be saved.
So you throw plants into your compost?
Yeah. Try not to. I try and save them.
Right.
Some of them are bad.
Yeah, I didn't realize you could do that. You can throw them in there and it'll help provide nutrients to the soil.
Yeah, I guess so. It's plant matter. It'll break
Yeah.
down.
Cool. Very cool. I didn't know you had a second greenhouse either.
Yeah, it's coming on. I need to build some proper benches in there, but it's like half full already. I've only just finished it. I need to build benches. My plan was I built the second one for these seedlings, but then it started filling up with plants. But I think I've still got the space. But ultimately, what I want to do is build like a huge conservatory type thing and have like sofas and a dining table in there.
Yes.
So get rid of these two greenhouses and build something big that we can actually sit in. That would be the dream, and it will happen.
I love this idea.
Yeah.
I like where you're going with this.
Yeah.
I would have to come out.
Glazed
I'll make my way.
glass roof. Nice tiled floor. Do it properly. That will happen. That's the plan.
Do you have some like building skills, building history, building things?
Not really. I mean, I've built a lot of stuff, but I don't have any experience as such, but I can turn my hand to whatever.
Multi-talented.
Yeah, just practical, I guess.
That tends to be the case with musicians, man. What is your guilty pleasure for music that's nothing in the realm of metal? This is Filter Free Jesse.
There's no guilty pleasures. I love all sorts of music. I've been pumping the metal on Instagram just because it's funny. But yeah, I like a lot of different types. I used to do free parties and raves and stuff. So drum and
Ooh.
bass is a big thing that I'm into, and reggae and dub and all sorts.
Dude, fuck yeah. I actually used to spin jungle and drum and bass. That's what I started with. And probably in like 2006, I started spinning jungle, drum and bass. And then I moved into house music and techno. I like minimal techno. But drum and bass, I know you guys have a huge hardcore and drum and bass scene out there. And I caught that actually on one of your videos you made, which are really great too. I'd like to compliment you on that. I now that you tell me you're an audio engineer and all these other talents of yours, it totally makes sense to your why your content is so appealing. But I heard a little hint. You had this like remix of drum and bass and metal together on one of these songs, and I commented on it like this was like a while ago, and I was like, "Fuck yeah!" I heard a little hint of drum and bass in there.
Yeah, I do love drum and bass. It's yeah.
Yeah, I've always kind of looked up to your guys as a community in the dance realm because I've been out there once or twice, but never as an adult. We were kids when we went, so I would love to come out there and experience your guys' rave scene. You guys had a big impact on the scene for sure.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of good music has come out of London and stuff. And yeah, we did. Again, the pandemic has kind of put a dampener on it, but we did have a huge free party and rave scene, which is really difficult in this country because there is no empty space. You know, like where you are, you can go out in the desert, and I don't understand why you don't have huge raves in the desert.
We
Like, it
do
makes no sense.
sometimes.
Yeah,
Sometimes.
okay.
Yeah. Sometimes.
But yeah, to find a venue where you can have like 5,000 people is very, very difficult here because you've always got a house or someone to complain.
Yeah.
So there's the warehouse party scene is pretty cool. And yeah, we were a big part of it for a long time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of where the punk and the metal heads kind of meet is in I noticed this at least in the LA scene and the desert scene. We do have a big desert scene out here. It's underground though. That's where a lot of punkers and metal heads would come and I'd find them in the hardcore and in the drum and bass stage always. You know? It's like kind of where we intertwined. Right?
I love that, like mixing up, because you get a lot of like people who are into metal and it's like, I like metal, I only like metal.
Purists.
And it's like, come on, dude, like you stand at a gig in a black t-shirt at the back with your arms crossed, like you're not enjoying yourself. I used to do this thing when I was engineering metal shows, and I would, in between the bands, play like an 80s disco party, and it is just the funniest thing to do to a room full of metalheads is to just play like Madonna and stuff, and start it off slowly, and eventually you get every single person in the room dancing to the Madonna and just 80s pop music, and then they are visibly disappointed when the band starts, and that to me is just the best thing. Like they're all dancing and having a great time, and then the metal starts, and they go, it's funny.
Well, that's the cool thing about these cultures, these subcultures, is that everybody from different walks of life can come together, you know, no matter what, where you're from, what you've been through. And that's kind of I found refuge in the rave scene, like feeling like an outcast growing up, feeling different, being more like artistic than in than book smart, you know what I mean? And that's where I found refuge for sure. I never felt judged and discovered and learned a lot about myself and community and you know. But there's also a dark side to it, if you get carried away. You know what I
Oh,
mean?
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
A lot of people do. Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to put on like punk dub bands on in warehouse parties, and that was just such good fun because you can invite the punks, you can invite the hardcore drum and bass kids, and you'll find them all dancing to the punk band, which is really good fun.
That's awesome.
Like that, not a lot of people were doing, just because logistically it's really hard to get a live band on in a venue that you've just broken into, but
Right.
we used to do it just to mix up those scenes, and it was really good fun.
That's so cool. Yeah, Renegades are the best, man. And I watched videos. I watched one recently of your guys. Someone had a you guys had an outdoor rave out there, and the cops beat the shit out of somebody. The cops came in there and broke it up. But that's the fun thing is that thrill of doing a Renegade party, bringing a generator and being in some abandoned building or, outdoor venue.
You guys have got so much space. I'm so jealous. It would be so easy there.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of the warehouse parties are actually legal now because we don't have to hide it anymore. It's kind of become part of the culture, thankfully. But yeah, that's cool, man. I'm really glad we got to do this, dude. So you want to show me some plants? You want to close out and show me some plants? I would love to see some of your plants.
What do you want to see?
Let's see a poa.
So, this is an old plant and it's seed grown. And the label says 1982
Wow.
when it was planted. And considering it's very tiny still.
Wow. What the fuck?
It takes a long
Man, talk about a slow grower.
Yeah, and it's got a pup.
That thing's 8 years older than me, man.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I love that. I mean, I love growing from seed, but you wouldn't see that in a lifetime.
Right.
Get to that size. So that's a power. I've got quite a few of them now. Anything else you want to see? Because I've
Sure.
got pretty much everything around me.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see what you pick.
This guy,
Beautiful.
tiny little Lophophoria, that was one of the first plants that I grew. It's a year old, maybe.
It's your
And
seedling?
it came from this plant. The seed.
Awesome.
I kind of didn't know what I was doing, and it just kind of grew.
Very
So
cool.
I love that one.
That's awesome.
Now I've got about 1,000 of them growing, but that was the first one, so that's probably my oldest seedling. I've got three of them from that batch.
This Astrophytum that you did, the multiple I shared it today, and they're staged in what looks like a dry lake bed. It's incredible, man. You did an excellent job on that. I think there's like three of them, and you put them in ground. Like they look like they're in habitat. They're popping out. They're like buried, like they would be. You did a great job, and the cracks in the dirt. It looks like a dried lake bed.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. It took me ages to figure out how to do that. I can't remember who it was. I think someone on Instagram posted there's someone from Japan or something is selling this like liquid stuff. Have you seen this?
Uh-uh.
Think it's some sort of plaster and it cracks like
Wow.
dried seabed. So I thought I'd try and copy it, and I spent ages messing around with different types of mud. And I got this marl from Italy that someone else on Instagram, because I was looking for marl and I couldn't find it anywhere. So someone else from Instagram from Italy was like, oh, you can get it from here. So I got some sent to me and I messed around with the different muds and I got it to crack and work like that.
That's
And it's
awesome.
cool because unlike that other stuff that someone had, when you wet it, it turns back into mud. So it waters and evaporates and then it dries again. So yeah, I think it was an experiment that worked.
Wow.
I posted a picture of it on the British Cactus and Succulent Society Facebook group and everyone was like, you're gonna kill them. What are you doing? That's not how you do it. And it's like, guys,
Really?
chill out. Like if they die, they die. It's just a fun experiment. And I haven't died, they've like doubled in size. So
Wow.
people are so precious over these plants, like so many things are like, it's this is how you do it. And I think just experiment, you know, it doesn't matter. It's a 2-year-old seedling. If it dies, it dies. Let's see what they do. They're a
Yeah.
lot tougher than people give them credit for. I mean, look at where they grow.
Yeah. You're absolutely
So
right. They're a little more, a little less conservative about that kind of thing here, I feel like. Especially with this new generation, at least. People
yeah,
are
definitely.
definitely doing some new stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who've been doing it a certain way for a very, very long. You know, I've got 40 years experience and all this sort of thing. It's like, that's cool. How did you get that experience? Like,
Right.
I'm sure there's other ways of doing the same thing. The plants don't care. Like, that's. It's funny when people argue about the best way to raise seeds. It's like you've all got seedlings, like you're all growing seedlings. There is no best way of doing it. Like,
Yeah.
whatever works, whatever makes sense to you. And the plants don't care, so they just grow
Yeah.
pretty much anything.
Yeah, that's just an unfortunate little display of ego sometimes, you know? But
Sometimes I think
sometimes.
people, something that works for someone, they think that's the way it is, but it's not necessarily.
Yeah, who's to say? Do you
Yeah.
have an astro that we could see?
Yeah, do you want to see a big one?
Yeah, big one. Let's see some mature specimens. Whole, oh,
Move
Robusta.
that. Yeah, well spotted.
Got a little peek of a Robusta. Wow. Wow.
My biggest one.
That thing's incredible, man.
Yeah, it 1975 seed grown.
What the heck? Man.
Cool.
That's very cool. You're inspiring me to want to get some older specimens. I have about one that's like 40 years old or something, 50 years old. That's the only one I have. But that is beautiful, man.
They're hard to find. I guess not a lot of people want to give them up.
Right,
But
yeah.
you know, like someone has grown that from seed, whatever, 40, 50 years ago, but it'll live for another 50 years, you know?
Right.
It will just keep going.
Yeah.
So it's cool to pass these plants down and keep them going.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're gonna have a lot of aerial carpets to pass down. I know you have in your bio it's not for profit, but you know, that very well could be your retirement fund, man. If you got thousands of those things.
I'm really not into to money as
Yeah.
a whole side of it,
Yeah.
but maybe
Yeah.
if I need some money at some point.
Just an idea. Cool. What about that hanging thing behind your head? What kind of cactus is that?
This is a.
I should know, but I don't.
You should know.
But I don't.
Like, and now my mind's gone blank and I can't remember. But it's a monkey tail, isn't it? Called a winter acolymenosis.
Yeah,
I've got.
definitely didn't know that one.
It's got a little flower. I don't know if you can see it, but that's exciting.
That's so cool that you're getting blooms. I mean, I'm sure it's a real special occasion when you're getting blooms in there.
Well, they all summer they bloom
Wow.
non-stop because they have such a long cold winter rest. I think that actually helps with the flowers.
Yeah.
If you don't really get a winter, then like a lot of plants that are kept indoors or kept at warm temperatures and are kept growing all winter. If you completely shut them down with no water and really cold temperatures, they, as soon as spring comes, they burst into life and they bloom and they grow really, really fast.
Yeah, like desperate for growth, probably.
It amazes me that they don't, like, 6, 7 months, 8 months sometimes without water, and then a drop of water, and you can visibly see them growing. It's incredible.
Right, you can see them respond to the water.
Yeah, instantly they all fatten up and swell up. Like those first few weeks of spring is really interesting time.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to wrap up with a question for you. What has changed in your life since finding this? Like, what is this gardening doing for you?
It's been a huge change in my life that got me into the gardening. And I think it's given me, I don't know, the pandemic has been crazy. Everything that my life was based around suddenly stopped in
Sure.
like a couple of weeks. And this has given me something to focus on and keep busy.
Yeah.
And it's been nice, especially, I mean, I think the Instagram community has egged me on massively.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to show off their new plant, and
Right.
that thrill of acquiring a new plant and then having someone to show it to
Yeah.
has been a big part of it. But yeah, I think it's kept me busy, and it's really nice. I still can't explain why it's fun,
Yeah.
but it is.
Yeah, it's hard to put into words.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, thank you so much, Martin. I really, really appreciate you.
You too, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, Big Cactus Rescue, everybody. You have a website. I looked at it, actually, dude. It's high tech. I like your website. It's very visually stimulating. With the
Yeah.
scrolling photos and the links. Well, what is the website URL?
It's bigcactusrescue.org, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
And
Awesome.
also a quick plug for my girlfriend who's running every day this year for a homeless charity in the UK. Her
Wow.
website is trixierunseveryday.uk, and she's at Trixie Runs Every Day on Instagram, and she's doing amazing work
That's
running every
beautiful,
single
man.
day.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You know, we have that in common too. I like to run. I don't run marathons, but I like to run. So,
Yeah, it's absolutely great. Running is a huge part of my life.
and then what about the song that I'm gonna put on the intro? Who's that by? I would like to give them credit in the bio. I'll plug you, your website, and Trixie in the bio if you'd like,
Cool,
and
yeah.
yeah, and then the band.
Bismuth, they're called. They're from Wales.
Okay.
Really cool. They're just a bassist and a drummer, and the bassist has like loads of effects and loads of different guitar amps and bass amps all plugged into the same bass, and she does some crazy noises with that bass, and it's cool.
Very cool. All right. Big Cactus Rescue. Thanks, Martin.
Nice one, man.
All right. If everybody could please like, review, and subscribe to the podcast, that helps me out a lot. Hit that share button. Have a great day.